She's an accomplished concert pianist. She's an amazing person. If you want to look at her, she's something else. And she also played with she's a violinist. Her name is Jenny Oakes Baker. What a beautiful piece of music that is. A couple of people I want to recognize real quick. I know the rain kept us all out. We really had a hard time this morning. Praise the Lord. It's what it is. We got the buses, we got them out. It was pouring rain, man. There was so much rain, water on Armstead Avenue and Fox Hill Road. And we said, well, we're going to get the buses. We're going to get them out there and just see what happens and see if we can do it. And we got out there and it really got turned around. It was just too much. So we turned the buses back and we came back. So a lot of folks in here this morning. I hope they're all watching and hearing on streaming. But I want to just recognize just a few people real quickly. You don't have to stand up. I just want to call your name out. Brother James Campbell, who's been in this ministry for quite a while. I'll kind of pick on these people because they've been, when I first came here, they were working in the ministry, in bus ministry, and they're still in it today, and I thank God for that. First, I want to say, if you all know, this is Bus Ministry Sunday, we got rained out, but that's all right. We're supposed to have a bus pulling kids pull the buses, and I was going to see if I can get some adults, maybe they want to go out there and do that a little bit, get track shoes on, no? All right, so that's what it is, that's okay, but these three people right here, Brother James Campbell, then Brother Tim Bailey. Where are you at, brother? There you are, brother, right there. Right in the front row, wherever you belong. And Miss Debbie Bailey. I want to give the people a hand real quick for all the work that they've done in this ministry for the years. Thank you. There's been many people that have worked in this ministry and given of themselves and given their time and their efforts. Some of them you didn't see in the video. I don't have a picture of Miss Nola nowhere. I can't find one of you. There's been a lot of good work, and God has done a lot of good work through his people in the bus ministry and in that service. It's a unique ministry. It takes a lot of work to get that thing to go. It's not a matter of just kind of going and coming and then you're done. It's ongoing, and you really have to put a lot of time and effort to it. And so thank God that the bus ministry is here at Sharon Baptist Church. And if you have an inkling or a notion or a unction of any sort or kind to get into the bus ministry, if God is working on your heart for that, please do not hesitate. It is a blessing you will not regret. It really is. It's a blessing to work on these buses and to work with the kids and the families and to see them coming through and here getting saved and born again. And we got Edward serving as an usher, and he was a kid running around. And some of these kids we miss, that they're gone and they move and they kind of think that's just the way the nature of the ministry. So I just want to recognize those folks. If you want to turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans, our text is going to be Romans 10, 9 through 13. And we're going to pick up on a couple of verses following, which will be 14 and 15. But I want to kind of come back to those in just a little bit. The theme I wanted to kind of surround this with was the theme of like racing. We enjoy Olympics and we enjoy watching the Olympics. Matter of fact, one of our bus kids Brother Jimmy's route. Where you at, Brother Jim? On his route years ago, and Miss, I think Miss Debbie, you were her teacher, is Francina McCrory. She's an Olympic gold medalist. And boy, isn't that wonderful to know that she was ours, you know what I mean? She's one of our daughters, and I love that fact. And it would be nice to have her hear something like this, you know, and I hope that she's able to listen to it. But it's wonderful to have that and those kinds of accomplishments. And all the medals and all the wonderful things that we do in the Olympics that they do and the gains that they make and the awards. And we're going to have a big trophy for the kids, and they're going to hold it up and dance around it for a few minutes because they pull the bus and they win. All those things are wonderful trophies and awards. And what do they do after a certain time? They do what? They fade away. They fade away. I think an Olympic medalist, that medal will probably be the last one to fade away if one's going to fade away. You know what I mean? That's the one to get is that in awards in this world, if you want to put it that way. Well, racing, the spirit of racing and the spirit of competition, we're going to have our bus pull today, is that there's all kinds of different kinds of racing. And there's racing in the world, which is car racing, and there's boat racing, and then there's the wonderful human race, what I like to call the rat race. That's about what it is sometimes. So we're going to pray. We're going to talk a little bit about that, and then and see where God takes us this morning. Father, we love and thank you so much for your grace and mercy. We're thankful, Father, for the bus ministry this morning. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity that we can come together under your in your house, Lord, and to hear the word of God and to sing. And what a wonderful choir this morning. Father, the voice is just lifted up and to you, Lord, and we're thankful for that. And Father, for Brother Ed and the wonderful song that we all love. And Father, just these things, we want to lift your name up, Father, this morning. We want to honor you in all that we do. And Lord God, to those that have worked in the bus ministry and those that have served in over the years. Father, I think they've done just that. They've really given them themselves. And Father, I thank you for that. I thank you for the Lord putting me in that place, Lord, to be able to serve in that area. Father, this is my course and this is my area. And Father, Lord, you might have something else for us in a different time or place. And Lord God, we don't know. But Father, now if you would, bless and help me with my speech and my speaking. Help me to allow, Father God, to get your message out to your people this morning, and you will get all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Different kinds of races, car races, boat races, the human race, and sort of, and all, then you got the athletics and what we're talking about this morning, kind of focusing on that, of track and field racing. So we're going to kind of put our eyes on that area. There are several in track and field, which is the 100-meter dash. There's a 200 meter, there's a 400 meter, there's the marathon, which is kind of a lot of people's favorite, that 24-mile endurance paced race. There's all kinds of different ones. And then there's a guy who, I want to mention him real quickly before I go on. You probably have heard of him. His name is Usain Bolt. I don't know nothing about what Usain Bolt does today. I have no idea. I know what he did at that time is he still holds the world record in 100-meter dash at 9.58 seconds, 100 meters, 300 feet, probably about from here to that tree out there or near the street. In less than 10 seconds. I couldn't run from here to that door in 10 seconds. Matter of fact, I don't think I'd make it if I started running at all. But why I mentioned his name is this, is when they were shown an interview, and I can't remember when it was after that event, I don't know. But while he was interviewing with the woman who was talking to him, and she was asking him questions and stuff, and then you could hear the national anthem in the background. And somebody had won a medal. Somebody had won something from the United States, where I don't know, track and field, maybe a discus or something. And Usain Bolt made her stop and say, oh. And he stopped and let the national anthem play. A man that's not even from this country. He's a Jamaican athlete, and he stopped and had her hold her for a second, and he gave respect unto our national anthem. We have our own sons and daughters today that can't do that. What a shame that is. You guys don't you ever do that, ever. Well, you hear the national anthem, you give it the respect it deserves. It's the country that you live in, and we've got a lot of blessings in this country. And if you look at its history and the time it's beginning, I don't want to go another road here, but boy, just from the time that they planted that cross in Virginia Beach in, 1609, that was our beginning of our mission to the world of the Christian faith. That's where it began. So we love this country. We love it. And when we hear the national anthem, we want to recognize that. About the runner. The runner's strength is this. It depends in the world terms now, not in the spiritual terms, but world terms. The runner's strength solely depends on his individual abilities. He doesn't have any help, or he or she, whatever race they're running their race, they have their physical conditioning and all the things that go into that. That's what they depend on. They don't have a tennis racket for tennis like a tennis player does, although they're in great shape and they're great athletes. They don't have like a biking, you're riding a bike, you have that thing. Well, you have a golf, right, Frankie? You got a club, and we don't have to. No, listen, I don't believe this. Golfers are not athletes. You might argue with me. They're not athletes. You can look at those guys and say, wait a minute, I don't know if it's an athlete. He can swing a club, so they depend solely upon their physical ability from their feet to the top of their head on performing their race and performing what they do. Their conditioning is absolutely key. It's 100% key. He or she trains to optimize in every aspect of their sport or of their race, of their discipline. What they eat, how they exercise, the things, their routines, their running form, how they hold their hands. Very important. If you talk to somebody who runs, the first 5 or 6 steps out of the block, everything falls into place, where they put their hands, where they hold their head, how they breathe. In a 100-meter dash, of course, what are you doing? You're coming out of the blocks like you shot out of a gun. You're just going from A to B. But when you get into the 400 meter, now you got to pace and run hard. And then when you get to the marathon, you got to do what? Strictly a race of pace. You know, those guys, if you let them, if they didn't worry about the clock, they could run from here to Richmond and it'd be just fine. But they have a clock that they're racing against, so they have to push, but they have a pace. So he has the conditioning of the athlete is everything. How they race, and how they train, everything, all these things come into play. Their diet, what they eat, their workout, their routines, their sleep habits, all these things come together. And when they come together and they get to the start line, they put the feet in the box, they expect, they don't hope to, not at Olympian level. You expect to win. You expect to win. Those guys and those ladies are not going and training and giving themselves, they're going to different countries and leaving their families to go and hope that they might win something. They're on, in their minds, these are that level of people that they are going to go and they're going to win their event. That's what they want to do. If they didn't think that way, they wouldn't be there. So they want to win their event. Everything that they have trained for inward has now got to get expelled, if you want to put it that way, outward. Now they got to take all their training, all that they've learned, and all their conditioning, all these things, and they got to get it to an outward place. They got to work it out of their of all that training. The contrast to that, and we talk about the Christian race. So think about the athlete and his race in the world terms, and now look at the Christian race. We don't run a race per se. We run a course. We run a course, and it's the course is our faith. And if I could define it just quickly as a Christian, if you're just somebody who just comes to church and just hangs out and just, hey, I like going there because it's nice and the guy says a lot of stuff that I like to hear, you're not in that race. You're not in the race. If you just come because, hey, so the Sunday school teacher really teaches the stuff that I kind of like, history, and he's really good at it, if that's why you're coming, then you're not in the race. What puts you in the race is when you are born again, child of God, and you receive Jesus as your Savior, you are now in the race. And what I'm hoping and what we hope to do is when we get in the race, then what do? We run. We go. You have the choice, and we have the choice to sit if we want to. He's not going to break our arms to that. If you're born, you trust in Christ as your Savior, you're in the race. Now you just want to what? You want to run. Now you want to run. You want to go. Paul says this, speaking to the Corinthian church, who knew a lot about athletics, and they had the Isthmus Games at this time, and they were very big about it. They used to name a lot of their athletes and their winners for their months on their calendars and stuff like that. 2 Timothy 4:7, Paul says this, I have fought a good fight. I have finished what? My course. Not my race. The race goes on. Well, me and you are going out of here, the race is going on. Until Jesus comes and takes us all home, the race is going on. Now, our course may finish. Paul's course is finished. But the race goes on. He says, I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. The course, the word dromos, it means like almost like career. That's our career is our course that we run. We have the race. We're in the race. Now we have our course. I have to take a sip of water. Forgive me. Now, just as those that race in the human race, the conditioning is key to the Christian race, to our race. We work to what? To optimize every aspect of our course, whether it's teaching a Sunday school class, teaching a youth worker, running a bus, a bus route, driving a bus, teaching a Sunday school class, preaching, all these things. Those are our course. So I want to optimize everything that I do, everything that we do in our Christian race. What we eat, just like the athletics, what he eats matters. What we eat matters. We drink the sincere milk of the word. Amen. Amen. They eat fried chicken and donuts. No, they don't. They don't eat nothing like that. They are careful about what they eat. Believe me, they don't. When they're in their place, they can't go out and eat and stuff like that. Because somebody will put something in there, all of a sudden they fail a doping test and their race is over. So it's careful what they eat. We need to be careful what we ingest. In the same way. We need to watch where we go and how we act, what we do. Those are the things that we eat. In Jeremiah 15:16, it says, I did eat them, being the words of God. That's our diet. Praise the Lord. That's our diet. Just like the athlete, we exercise not unto strength of our bodies, but what? Exercise unto godliness. The Bible says in 1 Tim 4:7, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. And I love this verse, and many of us do. 1 Tim 4:8, for bodily exercise profiteth little. Amen to that. All right? Let's go eat. I'm telling you, a Baptist loves that verse. Little, the bodily exercise profits little. Let's go have another donut. Amen. That's fine. But listen, godliness is profitable unto all things. How they eat, how they exercise, the position of their hands in their head, like we were talking about coming out of the starting blocks. Ours are not like this or like this, but they're what? They're like this. And we're in a mode of prayer. That's where our hands need to be, and our heads need to be bowed in prayer. Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So we watch what we eat, we exercise unto godliness, and we pray. Now, unlike the runner and the athlete, our strength is what? Praise the Lord. It's that we solely and dependent completely upon the Holy Spirit of God. We can't lift a finger and go out and do anything. Especially to the bus route this morning, you couldn't go out and start a bus without the Holy Spirit of God giving you the strength to go do it. You wouldn't last 5 minutes then. The kid would turn your ear or do something or throw up on your shoes or something would happen and you'd be done. You'd be back at the house. I ain't doing that again. You know, if the Holy Spirit of God, His love for Christ constrains us in this ministry as we work through. We go through the hard times. You just keep on going. All ministries experience it, and all ministries experience hardship. And I'm not singling out the bus ministry this morning, except for that it's the bus ministry day. But everything that we do outwardly as Christians, every work that we do, takes the Holy Spirit of God to get it done. Or it's a waste of our time. It really is. We might get an award for it. We might have a trophy to dance around for a minute. But except the Holy Spirit of God guide and direct us as in this race and in our course, we fail. He quickens us. He guides us. He reminds us. He seals us. He secures us. Why? Why do I depend upon the Holy Spirit of God? Because dead men cannot run. They can't run. I have to have the Lord's Spirit to quicken me and to make me alive and to make me go. That's what He does. Romans 8:10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Who strengthens us? Oh, we love this. Well, all of this verse, Philippians 4:13. I could probably ask Tim to quote it right now. He probably would. I could do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, or who strengtheneth me. Now, before I go on, I want to say this. Make sure we're clear. I got to watch my clock. We in the church, individuals, we do not run to win. Let's not make that mistake. We do not run to win. 1 Corinthians 9:24 tells us something about that. Know ye not that which they which run in a race all run, but one receiveth the prize, so run that you may win the race. It doesn't say that. What does it say? Run that you may obtain. Obtain. It's a different word. And win and one are both used in the New Testament. It's the same Greek word, and it means to obtain or to get. If you want to put it in Southern terms, to get. It's to get. We do not run to win because we run to obtain. Because my friend, if you're a born again child of God, you have won. We have won the race. We are the victors already. Now what we want to do is continue in our course to give God glory in what we do. Listen, the world again in that verse of 9:25. For every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a what? A corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown, praise God. 2 Timothy 4:8, Jesus has laid up a crown of righteousness for me, praise the Lord. If you are saved and you are born again and you are in Christ, my friend, you have the victory. Jesus is our champion. We are joint heirs with Christ. I'll tell you what, get a hold of that for a minute. Joint heirs with God. That ought to make you shake right down to your shoes. That's what we have. Praise the Lord for that. Wherefore, in Galatians 4:7, thou art no more a servant, but a son. A son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Jesus Christ. We are justified through Jesus Christ in Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're saved through Christ in Romans 5:9. We are conquerors through Christ in Romans 8:37. We have access to the Father in Ephesians 2:18. For through Him, being Christ, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. We live and have life by Christ in 1 John 4:9. And this is manifest the love of God towards us because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might have life through Him. Our relationship is more than just a passing handshake and a saying hello. It's much more than that. Our relationship is wonderful. Romans 8:17, listen to this. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together with Him. Boy, what a wonderful promise we have. In Christ, my friend, we are already one. 1 John 5:4, for whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And then again in 2 Timothy 4:8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Boy, that's we that love it is appearing. You have already won the race. Now what do? We run to obtain. Run to get. What are we talking about obtaining what? Souls for Christ. That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. If we're doing anything else, we better start turning it around somewhere and get it going where it needs to go. We got to get off the sidelines, friends, and get in the blocks. Get our feet in there and get on a bus. I want to say that. Get on a bus, right? And get your hands in the praying position for the ministry. Adjust your diet and start drinking milk again. Amen. And get that crown. Go out and win those souls. Now I'm going to add another element to this race. Well, the Bible actually adds it for us, and we're going to read chapter 10, And Romans 9-13, let's read it now. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is our text verse. And I don't even think I even read it yet. Have I read it? Praise the Lord. Can you give me a pass on that one? And that is our text verse. And that is our now I'm going to add an element. The Lord's adds an element to this. It adds an element to our race. If you add to talk about another race, you have the athlete, the 100 meter, and all those. Now we're going to talk about a what they call the relay race, which is a whole different aspect and a whole new game. In the relay race, they have to run. Their discipline to run is one thing, but now they have to have the discipline to pass the baton off into the other runner. It's so critical. If they drop the baton, if you miss the baton, it's over. It's over. They can pick it up and run if they want to. The race is still going on, but they're not going to succeed. The last thing you want to do in that race there is to drop the baton. It's the absolute worst thing we do. We have more purpose to the running than just going to A to B, but we're going from A into B, into C, into D, and then so on and so forth. We pass the baton of faith on to the next generation, and praise God, we love to do that in our bus ministry. The relay race is passing the baton. The runner now has to perfect both elements. He has to run, and he has to be able to hand off what he or she has in their hand. If you look at this in our Christian faith, it's the same exact principle. What we have to perfect our running and our going and doing our ministries. But boy, the biggest thing that we need to know and do is get that what we have in our hand and pass it off to the next generation. It has to happen. It has to happen. If we're not taking the effort and the time to put and perfect that element of our race, we're missing it. We need to make sure that the things that we're doing, that we're winning kids to Christ, praise the Lord, then we got to disciple them. Then we got to teach them the Bible. Then we got to get them here and get them in ministry. Then we got families and so on and so forth. We don't just stop at Romans 10:9-13. That's our verse for the world, that we take that verse and we're saved, and so many were saved by it, and we take that verse and then we add this next element to it. This is the how-to of that passage. It adds a new dynamic to the race. We need to have a clean transfer, and everything really hinges upon that. The success of everything in between the receiving and the handing off of the baton or the faith to the next it hangs and hinges on that. It's the importance of it is this. If we drop it, we're not going to be remembered for how fast we ran in between the reception and the delivery. Right. That'll all be forgotten. In the USA in 2008, the 4x100 relay, tragedy struck for those guys. It's a disaster. It's the last thing you want to see happen. Is they're running their race. They come to the third leg. These are top athlete runners. These guys, they train, but they didn't train the handoff stuff as much as they should have, because they even listed it, they didn't. And when he came to give him the baton, it got fumbled on the way, it hits the ground. Their race is over. One of those guys, I mean, he packed his bags and went home. The whole trip, the whole thing was for that, and it was over. Nothing could be worse than that. Nothing can be worse for Sharon Baptist Church to fail to pass the faith on. Nothing could possibly be worse than that. Listen, let's read Romans 10:13 one more time. For if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Wonderful. For the heart of man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The beauty and the power of that verse, I could just imagine hearing it over the centuries, being shared with people in all these different countries from maybe the third century. You hear Paul reciting it. You can hear Apollos reciting it. You can see him going to places and knocking on doors and meeting with people and sharing the principles in these verses. You can see it in the third and fourth centuries. You can see it all the way through the millions that have been changed, Asia Minor, Asia Major, Africa, Europe, America today. Through the Dark Ages, God preserved His Word and kept a hold of it for the perpetual church. And somebody somewhere had mentioned to somebody Romans 10:9-13, and they got saved and born again and trusted Christ, and it went on and on and on and on and on. It kept going, and God kept it. How wonderful a thing that is. But listen, this is this. We have trained, and many of you know that verse and that passage. Many of you can recite it right here today, right now, every one of you. Many of you, you looked at it, you read it upside down, you look at it this way, you've memorized it, you can probably say it alphabetically. I don't know if you can, but I wonder if somebody might be able to if they try. But listen, those are all good and wonderful things. But if we don't deliver it to the next generation, we fail as a church. We fail as Sharon Baptist Church, Christ Church, God's church is going to keep on going, believe it. If we're not there, it's going to keep on going on. God's going to get the job done, but I want to run to obtain, brother. I want to run to obtain. I want to get souls and win them, and get them here and get them under the blood and get them saved. Thanks be to God for this, that we had 9 through 13, but now we have 14 through 15, and 14 through 15 follows 9 through 13. Let's read it. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? 9 through 13 is the church's, like that's our verses that we love to give those verses. We do Romans 6:23, we do Romans 3:23, 5:8. We do a lot to lead people to know Jesus Christ and give them a saving knowledge. But I like to just use this passage here today because it gives us now a principle or a precept or whatever you want to call it, 14 to 15, that this is how we deliver this message to the world. We have to preach it. We have to say it. It's got to come out of our mouth somewhere. We can learn it and study it and recite it and know it here, and we can all clap each other's hands and say, wonderful. But if we don't get out there and run the race, if we don't exercise it out of our bodies and give it to somebody who's lost, some family out there on the bus route, some mom or dad, some kids, we're going to miss it. We got to keep this thing going, amen? We got to keep this thing. We got to deliver it. We can't just know it, but we have to deliver it. Thanks be to God that we have that, we have those two verses. I think our successes hinge upon that element, the application of it, the application of it. It's the how then of Romans 10, 9 through 13. It's the how then. How then shall they call upon him who they have not heard, believed? How then shall they believe on him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Kairoso, herald, to scream, to holler out. That's what God wants us to do with his word. And then I love this of Romans 15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Man, what a wonderful promise. What a wonderful things we have here. Just take what God has given us that we know already and we've trained and learned and studied, and now we want to outward those things by going out and preaching it. You're a preacher. We're all preachers of the gospel, every one of us. You kids, you're preachers of the gospel. How do we do the how thens? Through Sunday school, we pass the baton. Youth worker passes the baton. The nursery worker passes the baton. The day school, they pass the baton. The pastor's preaching passes the baton. The outreach pastor passes the baton. Door-to-door, one-on-one evangelism passes the baton. Obtaining. Children's church worker passes the baton. And the bus ministry passes the baton onto the next generation. Sharon Baptist Church, let's not drop the baton. Let's continue to do the work that God has called us to do and win them and bring them in. Obtain. Run to obtain. Going back, we'll close here. Going back to the event at 2008 Olympics in China, the four by 100 meter run, the two men were Jarvis Patton and Tyson Gay. And it was the third leg of the preliminary event of that race. In other words, if you got first heat, second heat, and all that, it was the first one. This one, man, they should have just cruised right through this and been done. Then they go on to top three win, then the top three race the second heat, and so on and so forth. And then you have your finalists. They never got past the first heat. That's just a disaster. It's just a disaster. But listen to this. This is what struck me when I read that. I was just reading little articles about things for this message. And boy, when I read that, it went right there. You know, when Tyson Gay said this, when he was getting the handoff. And he was ready, and they have it timed out. They have a running lane. They have to get the baton in that lane, or you can't pass it. So you know it breaks the rules. So he's going, and he's reaching back for the baton, all right? And I think Gay is the one who's coming up, and he's trying to get in the baton, but he's just running away from him. So finally, he has to kind of lunge it at him, and he get it and he dropped it, and it hit the ground, and that was it. When he was reaching back for the baton, he said he felt it, and then he closed his hand to get it, and there was nothing there. There's nothing there. And when I saw that written, it put me right here. Boy, I tell you what, would it be just an absolute shame for the world and all these kids and the lost in this world to be reaching back for that and to feel it's there, but just can't get a hold of it because it's not getting shared with them. It's not getting properly delivered. Sharon Baptist Church, we got to make sure that we pass this baton on. Amen. That we got to work, the things that we work at, we need to work outwardly. And listen, this isn't a message of a condemnation. This is a message of, yes, you're doing the job. We are doing a lot of good things here. Please don't misunderstand me. But I'm saying that we need, well, what a tragedy that is. How many people are running around in the dark and blind and in pitch black darkness in this world reaching for something and there's nothing there. But the devil put something in somebody's hand. Especially these young people. Believe that. We see it happening right now. There's all kinds of stuff that people are grabbing a hold of. But boy, let's share about this church. Let's be there giving the message that he's given us and pass it rightly and into the hand of those that are coming on. Listen, we can't drop the baton. As the world is searching around for all these things, let it be known that Sharon Baptist Church is getting that baton passed on to the next generation. And that's why I love the bus ministry so much as I do. Because it goes out there and it goes to places that it gets kids here that otherwise could not get here, or that a family or a mom or dad does not want to bring them to church. And the bus goes and we compel them by candy or games or pulling buses or whatever it might be. And they say, oh, okay, go ahead. And then the kid gets on the bus and then he hears the gospel. And then about 3, 4, 5 weeks later, so and so, here comes mom and here comes everybody else. And then they're bringing their friends and so on and so forth. One of those pictures of one of those young ladies in that video, Chelsea Gibbons, but we remember her. She used to round up. I'll tell you, this is the truth. We'd go over to the apartments over there in Fox Hill, and she'd have 20 or 30 kids rounded up. She would. Knocking on their doors, getting them out of the house. Come on, let's go. I remember it. It was unbelievable. Boy, she'd pack them on. Here they come. Every Sunday, they're all running out of the house, and there's Chelsea getting them all together. Just wonderful. Those kinds of things. I want to see her doing that today. I want to see her in church today. But that's the thing, is that all those souls that they got on that bus would not have otherwise been there if the bus didn't pull up in that apartment complex. How many do we miss? But thank God for the ones that we get and we obtain. Thank God for that. Let me close at this verse. And we practice this verse here at Sharon for a little while. Some of you may know it when I say it. It's Psalms 145:4. Does anybody remember it? I hope I had the right verse. Well, it says this in 145:4. It says, one generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. This generation, let's say Sharon Baptist Church, needs to listen, declare the wonderful works of God, declare his mighty acts, and praise the works of God to another generation. And let them come up behind us and then fill these churches and fill these pews and get preachers and missionaries and the ladies' conferences and, you know, and yada, yada, yada. And just, boy, and just let God use them and praise the Lord. It'd just be a good thing. So, Sharon, let's keep it up. Let us continue in their training. Let us continue in our teaching and discipling of others so that we can pass the faith on to the next generation. Let's pray. Father, we love